see everyone this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be spending some time in Proverbs, starting a new series. I was going to wait till the new year, but I got so excited that I just couldn't wait. And the thing about wisdom from God is it's so practical. It's moral, but it's so practical too. It can be used the very day that you read it right out of the Proverbs. You can use it that day. That's how practical Proverbs is. But this is about wisdom and living with wisdom from above. We're not talking about wisdom from the world. This is wisdom that could only come from God. Spiritual light for the path of life. Benjamin Franklin was an insightful man. And he wrote, "We stand at the crossroads each minute, each hour, each day, making choices. We choose the thoughts we allow ourselves to think, the passions we allow ourselves to feel, and the actions we allow ourselves to perform. Each choice is made in the context of whatever value system we've selected to govern our lives. In selecting that value system, we are, in a very real way, making the most important choice we will ever make." That's interesting, because we're having to make choices every day, all the time, in real time. And that's not always easy, right? But what Benjamin Franklin is bringing out is that we make all of our choices in the context of a value system. And when we choose the value system that we're going to make all our choices in, that actually changes things. It actually makes things easier, but it ends up also being the most important choice we're going to make. What is the value system that I'm going to make all my choices in? That's helpful because we live in the information age. I mean, we are bombarded with information. In fact, if you look at this information pyramid, the amount of data flying around the world right now is insane. And that's just raw data. That's just raw data. Above data, you have information. And that's somewhat organized data. Above information, there's knowledge, where we actually know something. But even more important than knowledge is understanding, how to make sense of all of it. And then above understanding is wisdom. And that is what God wants us to have. That is the value system that we should make all of our choices in. Wisdom from above, not wisdom from the world. But we are constantly making choices all the time. I read that statistically, Americans check their phones 8 billion times a day. 8 billion times a day. Now, we know that technology is not all bad. There are people alive today who would not have made it if they didn't have a cell phone with them to call 911. So technology can be used for good. I remember going down to California. This was 10 years ago. And going to a lectureship. It was like a gospel meeting lectureship where preachers were preaching on a particular topic. And as soon as the preacher got in the pulpit, everyone started pulling out their phones. And I was like, wow, that is really rude. They all started scrolling on their phones as soon as the preacher got in the pulpit. Well, I didn't realize they were bringing up their Bibles on their phones. I thought they were texting, you know. But you can use a Bible on your phone. And in fact, there are Muslims who cannot, by law, have a Bible in the Middle East. But they will access a Bible on a phone. And nobody knows, you see. So there is some good there. But I'm thinking of also about how you can use your phone. Lisa told me about a lady who, she's a young mother, which is a thankless job. And so she set her alarm to a crowd of applause, so that whenever her alarm goes off, it's everyone applauding, you know, just clapping. And she said, this is to applause just getting up and getting out of bed in the morning early, you know, for your family. But you could set that as an alert or an alarm, and then after you finish a task, you get that applause, positive reinforcement. Anyway, T.S. Eliot says, "Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?" So it's helpful to understand that wisdom is above all the data flying at you, all the information flying at you. And it's necessary for all the decisions that you have to make in real time with no notice, right? Like when you get the call from the boss to show up in the office, what should you do? How about a prayer? That's what I used to do. The boss's office was across the parking lot. As soon as I picked up the phone, "Boss needs to see you in his office now." You knew something was going down, and you were going to need some wisdom in that moment. Same thing in the Old Testament. Nehemiah got called into the presence of the king. So what did he do? He fired off a quick prayer, like a short arrow kind of prayer, before he went into the presence of the king. "Give me some wisdom, because I don't know what's coming at me. I'm about to be hit with something, and I don't even know what it is," right? So God offers us wisdom from above. So think of this, and think of Proverbs as a compass for navigating the challenges of life. It's like a survival guide, okay, for the decisions of life. Think of Proverbs as the Swiss Army knife of decision-making, right? So it's so practical. It's like the Swiss Army knife for the problems of life. It's a spiritual light for the path of life. It's a treasure chest for wisdom for life. And that's why we're going to study wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Let's start with the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom, and that, of course, wisdom is from above. It is from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So this is not just good advice from your friends, you know, which, depending on your friends, could be helpful or not. You know this is solid, okay? It's not worldly wisdom. It's not just good advice. This is timeless wisdom. So even though it's 3,000 years old or 4,000 years old, it's timeless. And you're going to see that for any generation and every generation. And, of course, this is wisdom from above, and it's wisdom given to Solomon. So in Proverbs 1, verse 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So this is wisdom that's given by God, but you're going to see it was downloaded directly to Solomon, which is kind of interesting. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon is about to be made king. So he's about to step into a situation he's never been in before. And so he says, "You've made your servant king, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go in, to go out or come in. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor you haven't asked for riches for yourself, nor asked the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall be any like you arise after you." This was awesome, because Solomon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he literally said, "Ask what you want." And he could have asked a lot of things, But he asked for wisdom, and God was pleased with that. And so he gave it to Solomon more than any other man alive. And what's interesting is about that is he just downloaded it. It's almost like he fell asleep, God downloaded this wisdom, and then he woke up with this measure of wisdom that could have only come from God. And I kind of wish that he would do that for me. You know, you just ask for it, and you just go to sleep, and the next morning you're a wise man. It doesn't work that way. We'll discover why. But here's the truth. He did download it. It's downloaded. It's just that he just didn't download it directly to your brain at perfect recall. But it is downloaded. But he put it in the Word of God for his reasons and his wisdom. So you actually have to want it. You actually have to pick the book up. You actually have to download it from the book. He works with us that way. You have to be humble enough to want it, and humble enough to ask for it, humble enough to actually pick it up and read it and study it. But God gave Solomon this incredible measure of wisdom. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. So his fame went out because he was so wise. And a woman heard about it. Her name was the Queen of Sheba. And she heard about this amazing wisdom, this man, Solomon, king of Israel. And so, without an invitation, she traveled across desert sands to meet Solomon. That's how valuable wisdom is. And what she found exceeded her expectations. In 1 Kings 10, then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these servants, your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel." To put it in today's vernacular, she went and she was blown away by the wisdom. And archaeologists have actually found an inscription verifying the Queen of Sheba, that she actually existed. She writes from a 10th century inscription, "I went in through the treasury of wisdom and drew for myself the waters of understanding." She made the trip. She crossed the desert in order to enter the treasury of wisdom and draw for herself the waters of understanding. That's astonishing. That shows you how valuable wisdom is. So we're going to look, basically we're just doing an overview of Proverbs this morning. We're looking at the source of wisdom, but there's also the principles of wisdom. And if you look at the book itself, just overall, it breaks into two parts. So the very first part, the first nine chapters of Proverbs, is basically the foundation of wisdom. And then chapters 10 through 31, you have all the actual Proverbs. So basically, you're loaded up front on what wisdom is and how important it is and why you should have it. That's the first nine chapters. It's not until chapter 10 where you actually get what we call the Proverbs, you know, a short sentence based on long experience. That doesn't come in until to the 10th chapter. Elon Musk, who I just heard now is the richest man in the world, he actually didn't go to public school. He didn't go to private school. He was actually homeschooled by his mom. But he became a computer programmer, and that's when he helped build PayPal. And that's where he made his fortune originally, was through PayPal. And then he started Tesla, the car company. And then after Tesla, he started SpaceX to launch satellites into space with SpaceX rockets, not NASA rockets. But he didn't learn this from school. He didn't learn it from college. Guess how he learned all of this? Reading books. That's how he learned, which is just astonishing. And in the process of just reading books, because he would just, you know how it is when you get excited about a subject, you just, sometimes you just deep dive on it. Well, that's what he would do. But what he did was he came up with a learning method that he called the semantic tree. The semantic tree. Basically, it's a learning method that has been around forever, but he figured it out and just gave it a name. And he calls it the semantic tree because you want to learn the foundational concepts first. So when he had to study rocket science, he had to start with the physics and telemetry and all of these basic concepts first before you get into the rocket science of metallurgy and fuel. But basically, he was saying you want the trunk and the main branches of the semantic tree first, meaning you get the basic foundational concepts and principles first before you go into the smaller branches and then out into the leaves. Look at how Proverbs is organized. It's the trunk first, the foundational principles of wisdom first, before you get to the smaller branches and the little leaves. You see? But when we think of Proverbs, we're thinking of the actual 1 to 2 line Proverbs. But we need the concept of wisdom first. Why should you have wisdom? What is wisdom? And so that's what the first part of wisdom is. The first 9 chapters is what wisdom is. It's multifaceted. So wisdom is practical, it's moral, it's spiritual, it's relational, it's even psychological. It takes introspection. It's from God, and of course it was with God when he created the universe. And what's interesting is we read about that in chapter 8. Listen to how wisdom is personified. You might say personified, speaking from itself. And in Proverbs chapter 8, listen how wisdom was with God when God created the universe. He used wisdom to create the physical universe. So in verse 22, wisdom is speaking. So when I say wisdom personified, it's like wisdom is a person. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Then he prepared the heavens. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. This is so fascinating because God used divine wisdom to create the universe. That means, on a practical level, when you are living with wisdom from God, you're actually living in tune with the universe, with all the physical and spiritual laws of the universe. But when you don't use wisdom from God, guess what? You're busting your head against laws that you can't break. They will break you. So when you're living against wisdom from God, you're actually living against all the laws, all the principles that God used to create the fabric of the universe. Talk about a hard life. That would be. That's how important wisdom is. And of course, wisdom is from God. It's given by God. And it actually leads us back to God. And so that's something that we'll look more at. So really, Proverbs is telling you what wisdom is. Notice it also tells you what wisdom is not. Because have you ever noticed sometimes to understand what something is, it helps to contrast with its opposite, to highlight the other. So there's a cast of characters in Proverbs. The simple, when the Proverbs talks about the fool, that's just an umbrella term. There's actually like three or four Hebrew words translated fool, but by themselves they're separate. So you have different types of fools. In English, fool just sounds like an insult, right? But in Hebrew, it's actually a cast of different types of people. The simple. So the simple, naive and gullible, so that they believe everything they hear. They lack discernment, and so what happens is they wander aimlessly into traps because they're naive in that sense. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. You have the mocker. The mocker is a scoffer. He's basically a know-it-all who hates to be corrected, and they're always smarter than everyone else. That's the mocker. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You have the obstinate. That's the person who, no matter what, they're not going to change. You can talk to your blue in the face. It's not going to make a bit of good. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You have the sluggard. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. The sluggard's too smart to work, too important to work. You have the troublemaker. You have an angry hothead. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So you have this cast of characters that is the opposite of wisdom. The drunkard, the proud, the greedy, the seducer, the mischief maker, the liar, the whisperer, the flatterer, right? The gossip. All of these are the opposite of wisdom. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Those who linger long at the wine. If you get on YouTube, there's all kind of body cam footage of police officers making arrests. Most of them are people who are drunk. And man, I'm telling you, talk about who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaints. It's all there. They're just spilling their guts, because they're drunk, but they're being arrested, and it's causing all kinds of trouble. The proud, pride goes before destruction. The greedy, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. So the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So yes, we're going to learn what wisdom is, but you also have to know what wisdom is not. And do you see a common trait, basically, in all these people? There is a common trait, I think, in all of them. And Derek Kinder says, the most misleading way to feel wise is to feel superior. The most misleading way to feel wise is to feel superior. In other words, these guys are all wise in their own eyes. That's why they don't want to change. I mean, why would you change if But it lacks an... here's the thing. When you hear the word fool, you think they lack mental intelligence. That's not true. They don't lack mental intelligence. They lack moral honesty. There's the difference. This is not a mental issue. It's a moral issue. And they lack the integrity or introspection of the heart. And so we need to learn wisdom, but you actually have to apply it. You can't just learn it, right? It can't just be book knowledge. You actually have to apply it, and that's what the second half of Proverbs is all about. It's about applying the wisdom in your life, and that's where all the general Proverbs are. A short sentence based on long experience. When I was a kid, I used to have I used to like going to the Army-Navy surplus store, you know, because they had such cool stuff, usually cheap back then. And I picked up an Army survival guide. It was a book, you know, about like that big, about that thick, and it was just all survival techniques for anything you can imagine. You know, how to get rainwater, to have water to drink, even how to make these guards with your eyes if you're in the snow so you don't go snow blind. How to make a tent or a shelter. All kinds of stuff in there. That was a cool book. But somewhere in the 80s or 90s, they added a chapter that was not there before. They added a chapter one, a separate chapter that was new, and it was called The Psychology of Survival. The Psychology of Survival, The Will to Survive. Because what they found out was, who cares what all these techniques are if you don't actually have the motivation or the will to actually use them? What point is this book? If you don't want it, there's no sense even having the book, right? And so that first chapter was The Psychology of Survival. The will to survive. You actually have to want to survive before you even get to the rest of the book. That was insightful. And that's kind of how I see this. You have to want wisdom. Know what it is. And before you even get over here, why go here if you're not interested in wisdom in the first place? So, you'll see that, of course, in the Bible a lot. Paul's letters, they're all doctrine first, application second. So you can understand the doctrine first before you apply it in your life. But these are the actual Proverbs. And think about what Proverbs is teaching. How to have a successful life. How to survive the problems of life. How to handle difficult people. That's in the Proverbs. How to handle difficult situations. How to find happiness. How to make yourself and others miserable. That's in the Proverbs. How to make yourself and others miserable by ignoring wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Proverbs teaches you all these things. And wisdom from above is timeless. So it's wisdom for all of life. It gives the shining path. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. It's a narrow path that leads to life. It's a survival guide. So one thing that's cool about Proverbs is it's showing you pitfalls, where not to fall in, where not to go, places to avoid. It's also a tree of life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those all who retain her. So you have this timeless, precious treasure of wisdom that is really incalculable in value. Matthew Henry says, it's better to get wisdom than gold. Gold is another, wisdom is your own. Gold is for the body and time. Wisdom is for the soul and eternity. But this brings up a question. If wisdom is this valuable, then why do so few people have it? Think about that for a moment. If wisdom is this priceless, it's this valuable, it's been given to us, downloaded by God, why is it so rare? Why do so few people actually have it? There is a reason. There is a reason, and I'd like to share it with you. In order to have wisdom, you have to have a key that unlocks this treasure. And the key is given to us in God's Word. In Isaiah 33, 5, this is the NIV, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Do you remember in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? Later we read the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And here we see that the fear of the Lord is actually the key to this treasure. The key that unlocks the treasure chest of wisdom. It requires the fear of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? If you boil it all down, it simply means a right relationship with God. That's the key. The fear of the Lord is describing a right relationship with God. Without a right relationship with God, the door is closed and it's locked. But with a right relationship with God, that door opens up. True wisdom cannot be found when we are living in denial of God. It's not available. Why? Because we're closing our eyes. We're in denial to God. And so the fear of the Lord, it sounds off-putting to us, like it sounds like constant cringing terror of God. But really, more accurately, it's a sense of reverence and awe and wonder of God. And you only have that with a proper relationship with God. People who don't have reverence or awe or wonder of God, they're not even close to a right relationship with God. You see? That's the key. You have to have the fear of the Lord. You have to have a right relationship with God, reverence and awe towards God, in order to access this treasure chest of wisdom. And that's the goal. The purpose of Proverbs is to make you wise. So that's the goal. That's the goal of our study. That's the goal of the book. But notice this about a goal, because that is a lofty goal, is it not? To become wise. But notice what Jim Rohn says about a goal. He says, the purpose of a goal is not just to achieve the goal. Rather, in pursuit of a goal, you will become more than you were. And that's the goal. To become more. More well. More confident. More hopeful. More positive. More inspired. More encouraged. More Christ-like. True happiness is not contained in what you get. True happiness is found in who you become. And so it is a lofty goal. However, in the pursuit of the goal, you become more. You will become more wise. You'll become more enlightened. You'll become more Christ-like. And that is the goal, is it not? To have the fear of the Lord, the key to wisdom. Remember, the Queen of Sheba, she crossed deserts in order to find this wisdom that is from God. She said, I went in through the treasury of wisdom and drew for myself the waters of understanding. We don't have to cross deserts because God wanted us to have this. So he actually inspired Solomon and other writers to give it to us in his word so that we don't have to cross deserts. However, even though we don't have to cross deserts to find the wisdom from above, we do have to enter the treasury of wisdom ourselves, just like she did. You see, nobody's going to do it for you. You have to enter the treasury of wisdom. You have to draw from the waters of understanding. No one else can do that for you. So God gave it to you. He compiled it in this book. And he wants you to have it. But you have to enter in yourself. You have to enter into the treasury of wisdom. And it, of course, begins with God. True wisdom is from God. It's given by God. It actually leads back to God. In fact, we find out in the New Testament, Colossians 2, in verse 2, to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ himself is all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge given to us. And what an amazing gift that God sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. And that through this way of salvation, that we could actually be born again in baptism, buried with him in baptism, raised to new life, born again as a new creation in Christ, all because we had the fear of the Lord, the key that unlocks true wisdom from above, and now we are in a right relationship with God. And that's the only way it can happen, by being born again, forgiven of all our sins. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of God's plan of salvation. You know what the beauty is? We don't deserve it. That's the beauty of it. We don't deserve it. All glory goes to God. We can't brag about it except in the cross, because of what Jesus did for us. And he chose to save us in this amazing way. That truly is the wisdom of the cross. If we can help in any way, please let it be known as we stand and as we sing.